Chapter 1, May 7, 2014.
That hit the spot, Frank Hubert said, picking up his empty plate and walking towards the kitchen sink. I'll wash these dishes, and then I'll have to start grading those senior essays.
Great. I have to run an errand before I can finish the stack of papers I'm working on tonight.
Do you need anything from the market?
Luann asked her husband, as she grabbed the car keys off the hook by the door and snatched her purse from the end table.
Just sugar for my coffee.
40 minutes later, Luann walked into her kitchen, balancing 3 bags of groceries and calling out,
I'm back.
She quickly put the items away and sighed as she looked at the clock. Already 8 o'clock, and so many papers to grade. Another late night ahead. As she entered their shared study, Frank looked up and said,
Your cousin Christopher called while you were out. We chatted a bit about the kids' college plans and whatnot, but it sure sounded like he was calling with a mission he couldn't discuss with me. He wants you to call him back tonight if you can.
That's odd, Luann replied. Chris never calls. I can't think of a time we talked by phone, except when he called to let us know Uncle Walt died last year. I sure hope no one else has died.
I don't think so. He sounded serious, but not upset or sad.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll call him back now before I get my head into these papers. Are you making any progress on yours?
These are done, Frank said, pointing to a pile of papers to his left, and then indicating the pile on his right, added, These are not. I'll get us both some tea, and then I'll get back to it. Maybe you can make your call from the porch? It's pleasant out there tonight.
Luann was just ending her call with her cousin when Frank strolled onto the porch.
That was a long call. Must have been serious, he noted. I just came to see if you needed a refill on your tea.
Oh, shoot, I didn't even drink my tea, Luann said. Did you finish your papers already?
Well, not sure if I'd call it already. It's after 9. And yes, I finished, so I'm ready to kick back and watch the rest of the ball game before hitting the sack. But I thought I'd check on you first.
After 9? Oh, I'm going to have to get up extra early to grade my papers. My head is spinning now, and I'm too tired to read 65 renditions on the similarities and differences between Romeo and Juliet and West Side Story. Can you sit out here with me a few minutes before you watch the game? I want to tell you about my call with Chris, Luann said, shooing Inky off the porch chair next to her.
Anything for you, dear,
Frank chuckled, taking the proffered seat as the cap jumped back up and landed on his lap.
Chris wants to sell Loon's Nest, Luann stated.
She tried to sound matter-of-fact, but tears sprang to her eyes suddenly as a vivid memory of sitting on the porch of Rammy and Poppy's cabin at the lake flooded her mind.
I know I haven't mentioned Loon's Nest in years. Truthfully, I haven't even thought about it in years. But now, the idea of it being gone, not being in the family anymore, that's a little overwhelming.
Frank wisely gave Luann a few moments with her thoughts. The Loon's Nest campground at Loonstone Lake in northern New England had been in her family for as long as she could remember. Her grandparents, George and Hazel Thomas, spent every summer up there, living in the family cottage and renting out the other 8 cabins to families and fishermen from around the country. Their 3 sons, Luann's father Henry, and his brothers, Uncle Walt and Uncle Charlie, had worked at the campground every summer of their youth, and when Henry and Walt went off to the Korean War and Poppy George died, Uncle Charlie managed it himself. Luann, along with her siblings and cousins, spent their summers barefoot and bronzed, playing in the lake, canoeing, hiking in the woods, and waiting for their turn to become official Loon's Nest staffers when they turned 15. Luann smiled as she remembered feeling so small, sitting in the big green Adirondack chairs on the front lawn, watching her daddy and uncles cleaning their fishing gear while the ladies played croquet. Her grandmother Hazel, called Rammy because her firstborn grandchild Christopher couldn't pronounce Grammy, loved playing croquet, even after she could no longer walk. Uncle Charlie faithfully pushed her around the lawn in her wheelchair so she could continue to beat anyone who challenged her to a game. But then, in 1974, everything changed. The camp closed midsummer, Uncle Charlie moved out west, and no one talked about the camp again. The memories were packed up along with the photographs, croquet mallets, and canoe paddles, and locked in the attic of the family cottage at Loonstone Lake.